Take your Bible, if you would, tonight, please. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Again, the devotionals are on the back table. Don't forget about the bulletin. We'll do a few announcements here once we're finished this evening. Proverbs chapter 18. Well, we started a series on family and relationships and marriage and all manner of relationships. We're going to work our way through the Old Testament, looking at some examples, kind of a biographical, I guess, look at the subject. We were in Genesis last week talking about marriage and what that consists of, and it's God's plan for most of us. But then I decided before we go any further, we're going to talk about how to get into this relationship before we start seeing the relationships. Hopefully that'll make sense here in a minute. And so this is going to be a little bit different type of message. Normally, especially on Sunday night, we're working through a passage of Scripture. And most of the stuff we do around here is expository for the most part, but this is going to be purely topical. And so we'll deal with this wide-ranging topics here. All right. Proverbs 18, look if you would please, in verse 22. We got quite a few people around here of marriage age, and so it might be a good thought to figure out how to go about that. And so there are men of marriage age, and there are women of marriage age. They are two different creatures. And so tonight, we're gonna talk to the men, and then later on, we'll talk to the women. If you have found your wife already, say, praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
That's done. My wife. Check that box. All right. But some have not. So in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, it says this: Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And we're going to kind of talk about how to go about that tonight. Father, we pray that you help us again to understand your word. And I pray especially for our young people tonight, or our younger people. They're not all necessarily terribly young, but those who are still single, that are searching for your will concerning their life in the area of marriage, whether it be the men or the ladies. And Lord, I know this is a difficult time, the time that we live in, and seems like godliness is certainly waning in the age that we're in, and making this pursuit seem even more daunting maybe. But I just pray that you'll help us tonight to trust in the fact that if your will is for us to marry, you have someone with us, for us. And Lord, that we will wait on you, and it will follow the truths of your word, even in this, as we do other things in life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. In Proverbs 18, and verse 22, he says, Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. The word in this verse, the word find, means to, you know, there's different kinds of find. You can find something that you're not looking for. You know, if you're walking down the street and you happen to find a $20 bill laying on the sidewalk, that's only happened to me once in my entire life, but I found a $20 bill just blowing down the sidewalk. And that was a good thing. I enjoyed that, but I wasn't looking for it, you know, and I haven't gone about my life ever since then constantly scanning the ground for $20 bills. I found that by accident. But the word in 1822 doesn't mean that. The word in 1822, the word find, means to find by way of diligent search. It means that you found something that you are diligently searching for, that you are looking for. The search in this case is not because a wife is hard to find. Women are everywhere, make up half the population, you know, so it's not that hard. Listen, there's so many women out there, fellas, that by mathematical probability, you could probably find somebody that'll have you, all right? So it's not about finding a woman or just finding a wife. This is a diligent search because you're looking for a particular kind of wife. You're looking for a particular kind of woman. If you're a man of God, a young man of God, or a younger man of God, then I'm hoping tonight that you're desirous to have a godly wife. And so it's a diligent search because you're looking for a particular kind of wife, not just a godly woman, but the woman that God would have for you. And it says in 22 that we're looking for the one that will bring good into our life. He says in verse 22, so whoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. She brings good into our life. She brings a good element into our life, brings, again, a good state into our life. And if you find that one that brings good into your life, helps make you better for Christ, amen. Amen, someone you can serve the Lord with and is a spiritual helpmeet to you, then verse 22 also says that means that you have found the favor of God, because the response or finding that which you're diligently looking for and finding a godly wife, someone who will help you again serve the Lord. He says if you find that one, if God blesses you with that, then you have experienced the favor of God. Now, if findeth is a diligent search, then that would imply that we need to know what we're searching for and what we're looking for. And we need to know how to go about that search, how to go about searching for that one that we're looking for. And so, as I said, tonight's going to be a little bit different. We're not going to be in a passage, but more topical. We're going to be talking to the young men about how to search for that wife, those things that we need to remember if we are in the search for that one wife, that one woman that will bring good into our life. Now, before we do that, I want to just kind of quickly go through some things we've talked about in the past about courting and dating in general. As you've heard me say this many times, I don't care if you call it courting, I don't care if you call it dating, as long as you do it biblically, amen. I don't care what you call it, all right? So we're going to talk about how to do this biblically in general, and then we'll just quickly go through that. We're not going to look at a bunch of verses, just go through those, and then we'll zero in on our subject tonight about how to go about finding a godly wife. Amen? You with me so far? All right, I'm not guaranteeing the world's going to agree with this, but here we go on courting and dating in general. First of all, we need to remember this. You know, courting or dating, I'm just going to choose courting so I don't have to quit saying courting and dating. Courting is not something that should be done half-heartedly or halfway, because courting doesn't exist in order to have someone to hang out with. It doesn't exist to have a casual friend of the opposite sex. It doesn't exist because everyone else you know is courting or everyone else you know is dating. That's not what this is designed for. Courting is designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is the pursuit of marriage. Proverbs 18:22 said, this is all about finding a wife or finding a spouse. And so the purpose of courting is not to hang out with somebody of the opposite sex. It's about finding a husband or finding a wife, finding a spouse. When people enter into courting for any other reason, it usually always results in somebody being deeply hurt because one or more is not committed. One of them is not fully committed to the relationship because it's entered into for the wrong reason. Trying to see if people fit, trying on people to see if they fit, just ends up hurting people. Yeah. And it's a big responsibility to have someone's heart in your hand. Right. Amen? And so we need to be careful about how we go about this. So with that in mind, let me say this. Don't ever start a relationship with someone until you are as humanly sure as you can be that this is the person God has for you. Amen. We shouldn't even initiate a relationship until we're as confident as we can be this is the person that God has for you. If there's anything outside salvation in life that we need to be confident in and sure about, it's God's will concerning a mate. You know, his peace and assurance, this is going to sound weird, but hang with me for just a minute and hear me all the way through. His peace and assurance is more important than getting to know the person. Because once we get to know the person, if they are God's will for my life, those things can be dealt with. Those things can be worked on. The most important issue is, not do we fit, but is this person God's will for my life? Is this the one that God has for me? God's capable of making his will known to you about a person or a mate in this life as sure as he is anything else in life. God can make it clear what his will is to us in life concerning these things. And this idea of getting to know people as to see if they fit, sort of pre-dating, is a dangerous thing. And the reason it's dangerous is because we can so easily become emotionally attached to somebody who is not God's will for our life. And someone can become emotionally attached to us, and we determine that they're not God's will for our life. And so as a result of that, someone gets hurt. The time to find out about them, the time to find out who they are, the time to discover who they are, is before you initiate a relationship. So before you ever initiate a relationship, what does their pastor say about them? Are they involved in church? How are they involved in church? Is their family saved? Are they faithful? Does he have a testimony to be able to handle finances? Do they sit up until all hours of the night playing games, or are they serious about life? These are the things we find out before we establish a relationship. Because once you establish a relationship, you become emotionally invested, and then it's hard and difficult to get out of. Is this making sense to us? So don't hesitate. Now, listen, don't initiate a relationship until you found out all you can and are confident that God is at work here and that God is putting this together. I understand that sometimes, even after you try to do that, things fall apart. But if we'll take that approach first, find out all you can first before you initiate, it sure cuts down on the hurt and the pain. Amen? Make sure the purpose of the relationship is well defined before you initiate it. Listen, I just want you to understand that if we go forward to this relationship, I'm into this for marriage. I'm looking for a mate. I'm not looking for a buddy. I'm not looking for someone to casually date here. I'm not looking for someone to hang out with. I'm looking for a mate. And we need to make sure that's well defined before the relationship's initiated. And if the other person isn't in it for the same reason, then you need to get out. Amen? Because you need to be in it for the same reason. Amen? Does this all make sense? Yes, we've covered this stuff before. That would mean this. If the only purpose for courting is marriage, and the only reason to get into this is for the pursuit of a spouse and serious about that, then that would mean this. That if you're not old enough to marry, you're not old enough to court. Amen. If you're not old enough to marry, you're not old enough to date. Because the whole purpose of this is marriage. Amen? Amen. Listen to godly people who care about you. Amen. Not people in your life who will push you towards marriage. Or let me add this, and shame on us sometimes, even the people in church who will push you toward marriage. When you get married, when you guys get married. Amen. Sometimes church people can be horrible at pushing people into marriage. Remember, they don't have to face the consequences of a bad relationship. They don't have to face the consequences of a breakup. And it's not their happiness at stake, it's your happiness at stake. And if it goes badly, as I said, you're going to be the one with a broken heart, not them. So don't let people, even church people who mean well, push you into a relationship. Always involve your saved parents. I didn't get that many amens there, but always involve your saved parents, which is a biblical pattern. I don't believe in arranged marriages. Don't go and go, well, preacher said we have to have arranged marriages. No, I didn't say in that, but always involve your saved parents. And again, that's a biblical pattern. Relationships initiated only by the young people or the couple oftentimes end up with somebody's heartbroken. Amen. Always involve your parents. You may not be surprised, but you might be surprised. There was a time when they weren't married. I know you think they were born that way, but there was a time when they weren't. So involve them. Never court anyone unless they will help your walk with God. Unless they will make you more godly, who you believe will encourage your walk with God and not hinder it. And never court anyone unless you are in the place that you can be that to them. Amen. Don't be somebody's spiritual boat anchor. Amen. Make sure that you're in a place where you can provide that for them. There are no perfect people out there, which is good for you because you're not perfect either. But search for someone with whom you can have a mutually supportive relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, before we get into the subject, patience followed by patience followed by patience. Be patient and wait. Can I help you out? It is worth the wait. Amen. Be patient and let God work. Amen? Okay, that's message one. Here we go. Fellas, listen. It's good to pursue a wife and seek a wife. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to do that quickly. First of all, I'll be honest with you, I stole the wording in this first point. I had the point, but then I found the better wording for the point. So this isn't mine, just so we're clear about this. First of all, number one, and I like the way this is worded, don't pursue girls. Pursue Christ first, and then pursue godly young ladies. Don't pursue girls. Pursue Christ first, and then pursue godly young ladies. I just like the way that's worded, don't you? You know, throughout my ministry, I've seen young men who want to pursue the pretty girl. They want to pursue the pretty face, who sometimes is spiritually immature, who is spiritually not good for them, but they're pretty, they're attractive. Now, I'm not indicating, okay, that just because someone's pretty doesn't mean they're spiritually immature, okay? But what I am saying is sometimes I've seen young men who get infatuated with the pretty face or the pretty young girl. And I've seen this happen sometimes where I'm watching this unfold, and I don't get involved in this because I'm not a matchmaker, but as I see this unfolding, I'm thinking to myself, man, what are you thinking? She is not good for you spiritually. Man, there's this young lady over here and this young lady over here, and they're godly. They would be so good for you, and you're pursuing this one that is just not going to be good for you spiritually. But they're attractive. And that's a guy. Oh, come on. That's a guy. And so we tend to do that sometimes. Don't pursue the pretty face, but pursue a godly young lady who will be a helpmeet to you in the pursuit of God's will in both of your lives. If you pursue that first, you're going to be shocked and amazed at how attractive somebody can suddenly become. When you're pursuing someone who is serious about God and is going to help you spiritually and uplift you spiritually, you just might be surprised how good looking they become one day. You'll be looking at them one day and go, you know what, they're pretty good looking now that I think about it. But to have that mentality, you've got to pursue Christ first in your life. Because if you're not pursuing Christ first in your life, then we tend to choose someone based on superficial things. Right. We tend to pursue people or choose people based on worldly standards. Look over in Psalm 63, if you will. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Psalm 63. I told you a little bit different message tonight. Psalm 63. If you're a young man tonight and you want to find that good wife, you want the favor of God, then pursue him first. Don't just pursue someone because they appeal to you physically, but pursue Christ first and then pursue a godly young lady. In order to do that, though, you've got to pursue God first yourself. Psalm 63 is a great verse. You need to develop a hunger for God. Hey, if you want a wife, don't develop a hunger for a wife. Develop a hunger first for God. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. The psalmist talks about this hunger for the things of God, rising up early, spending time in God's word, developing a hunger for the things of God and a hunger for the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our first desire, our first hunger. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 still applies even to this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I think we could squeeze a wife into that, don't you? That if we'll seek Christ first and seek the things of God first, pursue him first, then God can open up this opportunity to have a wife that's good for us, that will develop into a helpmeet, that will be a spiritual help to us. And in this pursuing Christ first, it's in pursuing Christ first that you can see the young lady that's God's will for your life, that's best for you. Pursuing Christ first helps me see the one that's best for me, the one that's good for me. As I said a moment ago, if we're not pursuing Christ first, then we'll pursue a wife based on other things, based on understandings, based on worldly thinking, based on the flesh, let's just be honest. But it's when I'm pursuing Christ first, you know, when you pursue Christ first, your interests change. That which you want in your life changes. Your desires change. What's important to you changes. Your priority changes when you're pursuing Christ first. And that would certainly affect this idea of pursuing a wife as well. It's when we pursue Christ first, God is able to show us, to bring into our orbit, if you will, the one that's good for us, rather than someone based again on superficial things. That's the favor of God. You know, spiritual immaturity tends to draw spiritual immaturity. And so when I'm not where I should be spiritually, that's who I tend to be drawn to. You know, contrary-wise, no godly young lady is interested in a man. She has to lead spiritually. So in pursuing Christ first, I'm able now to have a better understanding of that, what it means to find a good wife, and I'm able to see and understand better and ensure that I'm not making decisions or choice based on the flesh, but what's best for me spiritually. I also put myself in a place where a young lady who loves the Lord might be interested in me. Because she's looking for someone to lead, not someone she has to lead. And so we must pursue Christ first. I know this is old stuff, but it's still true. If your first pursuit is a girl and not Christ, you're likely to miss the godly young lady that could be an amazing help in your life. Isn't that true? Plus, if you're not pursuing a daily walk with God and a closer relationship with Him, you're not ready for the responsibility of a husband. How can you take the spiritual leadership in a relationship if you can't take the responsibility for your own spiritual walk? Let me just say it again. If you're not in God's Word and you don't have a devotional life, you are not ready for a wife. Amen. Well, amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely not. We need to be pursuing Christ first and pursuing our walk with Him. Look over 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 quickly. This is still true, 1 Corinthians 10, 31. We're going to move on. We're not spending much time on these. They're pretty self-evident. Do you think this also applies maybe to a wife as well? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Wherefore, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, even in the pursuit of a wife, that's the American edition, do all unto the glory of God. I should pursue that one that helps me bring glory to God. I should establish a relationship in a way that brings glory to God. I want to establish a home and a relationship that brings glory unto Him. In order to do that, I must pursue God first. Amen? So don't pursue girls. Pursue Christ first and then pursue godly young ladies. And let God bring you into a situation where you can find a godly young lady to be a wife, and so that you're spiritually in a place where a godly young lady will be interested in you. Not hard to find a wife. The pursuit is a godly young lady. And any godly young lady who has any sense won't be interested in you unless you've demonstrated you have a pursuit of God in your own life. Amen. So first, don't pursue girls. Pursue Christ. And then pursue a godly young lady. Then secondly, y'all ready? Told you just a string of points here. Secondly, establish yourself as a man of God in your own right before you seek to be a husband. Amen. Establish yourself as a man of God in your own right before seeking to be a husband. Look over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Establish yourself as a man of God in your own right before seeking to be a husband. I understand tonight that 1 Timothy, Paul is talking to Timothy as a younger pastor, but the principle here is still the same. And that is this: conduct your life, your interests, your affairs, have a testimony of serving Christ that will cause other people to respect you and see you as a man rather than a boy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Remember this verse: let no man despise thy youth. How do I keep people from looking at me like a kid? How do I keep people from seeing me as that just kid that grew up in Calvary and not a man who is in a position of being able to be a husband? Well, he goes on, let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Give attendance to the word of God. Again, I know this is instructions to a young pastor, but it's also true in life, isn't it? Amen. Conduct your life, your interests, and your affairs. Have a testimony of serving God, of loving the Lord. Get serious about God in your life so that people see you as someone who's serious about God in your life. 2 Timothy, look over there if you will. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee youthful lusts. He says, do this instead. Follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow the men of God who follow after righteousness and all the things that he mentions there. Let me just say it again. There comes a time to put away the game system and become a man of God in your own right. That's concerned about righteousness and godliness, of having a testimony of being a man of God, a man in the church, amen, of having a serious testimony about being serious about the things of God, about being serious about life. Amen. I'm not saying it's always wrong to play games. I'm just saying this. It comes a time where you change from, listen, as it's been said, you can sometimes, I'm going to get in trouble with this, but I don't care. You can tell sometimes when a boy becomes a man when he sells his game system. There, I said it. I don't say you have to sell it. I'm just saying sometimes there comes a time to put away childish things and become a man. If you want a serious wife, You got to be a serious man of God. Okay, well, amen. There you go. Thirdly, it should go without saying, pray every day for a godly wife. Pray every day for a godly wife. You got something in the front row? It's not too early to start. Amen. Pray every day for a godly wife. Philippians chapter 4. This is a diligent pursuit. Listen, if you're pursuing something diligently, what do you normally do? You pray. Lord, please help me in this pursuit. Pray every day. If you're a younger man, not sure a young man, but younger man, and you're looking for a godly wife, pray every day for the godly young lady that God has for you. Philippians chapter 4, again, nothing new here. Verse 5, Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Hey, this is another way of saying be manly, be a man of God. Amen. Be temperate. Be in control in your life. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Don't go about looking for a spouse haphazardly. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Again, simple truth, pray every day that God would bless you with the wife that God would have you to have. That God's favor would be upon you. That's what it says. Pray that God would bring this to pass and that God would work in your life. Pray that God will give you the peace about someone. Praying that God will lead and direct you will lead you and direct you so that you don't become emotionally attached to the wrong person. That God will give you wisdom in connection with that. Pray that God will help you again to find and form and shape a relation, that God will help shape and form you to be the kind of person that's ready for that relationship. It's not about just getting on your faces and praying, oh God, please give me a wife, please give me a wife, please give me a wife. It's about, Lord, please give me a godly woman that will do good for me and that will be a favor to me. But not only that, help shape me and form me. Show me those things that are lacking in my life. Help shape and form me to be the husband that I need to be the kind of man that will attract that kind of woman. Help me not to get emotionally attached to the wrong person. Help remind me what I'm supposed to be looking for. Help my walk with God so that I might be the husband I need to be. God, help me in these things. That needs to be a prayer. Don't start praying to be a good husband once you become one. Start praying now that God will help form and shape and make you to be the kind of man you need to be when that time comes. Now, it may not be your timing or in your timing, but look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Pursue Christ first. Become a man of God in your own right before you look for a wife. Become a serious man about the things of God. I'm not saying you have to be a 60-year-old man, but be serious about the things of God. Amen. 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 Then pray. Pray and pray every day for a godly young lady. Now, it may not work out in your timing, but we do have a promise here that I think includes a wife. In verse 7 of Matthew 7, ask and it shall be what? Given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you? If his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, he will give him a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give you good gifts as well? We talked about this last week. Is it God's plan for every single person on the face of the planet to be married? No. God gives the gift of singleness to some people, as we saw. But the vast majority of us, it's God's will for us to be married. So if that's the case, we have a prayer request here that falls likely under His will. And if that's the case, then we have a promise that if we pray, He will respond. Amen. Now, He may not respond in the time you want, right? He may not give you one next week, but if we pray, we have this promise that God will give us what we ask for when we ask it in His will. And for most of us, it will be His will that we find a godly wife. Amen. Amen? So pray. Pray. Pray every day that God will supply you with the wife that He would have you to have. Okay, y'all still with me? Amen. Fourthly, I told you we're not spending much time on these. Fourthly, search the Scriptures. Because how will you know what to look for? Search the Scriptures, or else you won't know what to look for. We understand tonight that what the world thinks we should look for is different than what God thinks we should look for. So how can I diligently search for a wife if I don't know what I'm diligently searching for? So here's a thought. Search the scriptures and find out what God says a wife looks like. Listen, if you want to find a wife, find out what God says one looks like. I know this is not deep, but it's kind of profound in the time we live in. Search the scriptures and find out what they say. First of all, search the scriptures. So as Romans 12, 1 through 3 says, they might help transform your mind and transform you so that you're thinking right about this and so that you're the person that you should be. Amen? Amen. Let's allow the Word of God to transform us, to transform our thinking, to transform our minds so that we might be the person that we need to be, so that our mindset might be right about this thing concerning a wife. But then read and study the scriptures. Proverbs 31 is a great place to start, is it not? What's a virtuous woman look like? Well, it goes from about verse 10, how long is it, down to verse 31, or however long that passage is, about what a virtuous woman looks like. Let me say this again. There's not one reference in that whole passage to a pretty face. I know some guys are thinking, he thinks we should just marry ugly people. No, that's not what I'm saying. I am saying this, though, that when you find a virtuous wife, once again, you might be amazed at how attractive she becomes. And so in that passage, we won't go read it for the sake of time tonight, but it lays out what a virtuous woman looks like. Amen? And boy, after that speech by the Kansas City Chiefs kicker this week, it should be evident that what we're looking for is completely different than what the world is looking for. And I'm no Catholic, but I support a lot of what he said, even if some of it is based on Catholic doctrine. I do disagree with this. Marriage is not a sacrament. Amen. It's not a means of obtaining salvation. But I certainly agree with a lot of what he said. Isn't it something? That's the first time probably in history that a kicker's jersey is the most popular jersey being sold. It's amazing anybody knows what a kicker's name is, but yet he has certainly made a name for himself. So search the scriptures so that you know what to look for. Study to find out what a godly young lady looks like. And again, it might be you already know one. Amen? There might be one already in your orbit if you just knew what you were looking for. Passages like Titus. Look over there, if you will. Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. We'll read this one because we're not as familiar with it as we are with Proverbs 31. But Titus chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much wine, teachers of good things, and that they may teach the young ladies to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient unto their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. And he goes on to a likewise man. Listen, if you want to know what to look for, fellas, get your dictionary out, do a little Bible study on what he's talking about in this passage. What does it mean to be discreet? What does it mean that she should be sober? What does it mean that she should be chaste? What does all these things mean? And then look for someone that matches those descriptions, which God lays out. That's what we should be looking for. You know, if I'm buying a car or anything expensive, a car or a firearm or something, whatever tool, an expensive tool, I just don't go out and buy it. You know, I've started doing a number of years ago some wood turning as a hobby. I think a guy ought to have a hobby. And so I don't like playing golf because, again, I'm not going to hit a ball and chase after it. And I'd rather have something to show for it when I'm done rather than walking around for 18 holes for no purpose whatsoever. As I said before, if nothing else, if I'm going to play a game like that, I'm going to play one where I hit the ball and somebody else runs after it. But I started doing wood turning, and so I didn't know anything about wood turning. I mean, nothing. I wanted to do it, but I do apps. When I say nothing, I knew nothing. And so wood lathes are expensive. And so before I went to buy a wood lathe, I read, I don't know how many reviews on wood lathes. I read all kinds of articles on wood lathes and different kinds and how they worked and what to look for. I watched hundreds. My wife and I watched hundreds of videos on wood turning and how wood turning worked and what we needed to do, because I wasn't going to lay out all that money unless I knew what I was doing. Well, here's a thought. Maybe we should take the same approach toward a wife. We've got the manual, and you don't have to watch any videos. Just read the book. And God lays out what we should look for and what a wife looks like. So why not, before we go chasing after a wife, look through Proverbs 31. Do a Bible study of that passage. Do a Bible study of Titus and find out what all these words mean and what I'm looking for. It'll bless you in the long run. It'll be worth the time. We're almost done. Fifthly, these next few are short. Fifthly, get active in church now. Get active in church now. This goes back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, where it says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." Listen, you will not become a different church member when you become a husband. We say this to the young people all the time. You don't become a different person when you turn 18. All right? Whatever you were at 17, you're going to be at 18. Unless you make some changes in your life. And you're not going to become a better church member just because now I'm married. And so now I'm a husband. So now I'm going to be a different kind of church member. Find something to do in the church. Some way to serve now. Volunteer for everything. Show up for everything. Don't wait to be asked. Be out for visitation. Be the last to leave. Help everybody you can. Let me go through that list again, because I want to hear myself say it. Volunteer for everything. Show up for every work day. Don't wait to be asked. Be out for visitation. Be one of the last to leave. Help everybody you can any opportunity you have. That will establish your testimony as a man of God. That will also help to form you into the man you need to be to lead a family in church as well. Be involved in church now. That way, when her dad calls me and says, "What kind of guy is this?" I won't have to say, "Well," it would be good to say, "He volunteers for everything. He shows up for every work day. He never waits to be asked to do anything. He's always out for visitation. He's one of the last to leave. And man, I tell you, he helps everybody he can because he has a servant's heart." Amen. Amen? Godly women tend to want someone who's on a mission. I think that's true. I've never been a godly woman. But from what I understand, godly women want someone who's on a mission. They want somebody who's doing something for God. They want someone who they can serve God with and alongside. They want somebody who's pursuing something bigger than themselves. So become a man of God, the church member you should be to lead a family now. Because you're not going to instantly become that man once you get married. Marriage license doesn't change your spiritual status. Don't drag down some young lady's service. Don't drag down some young lady's heart to serve. Help lift each other up. Yeah. Sixthly, and here it is. I got to say it because I say it every time we talk about this stuff. Proverbs 24. I think it's this one and one more and we're done. Proverbs 24. I still got 4 minutes and 38 seconds. Proverbs, since I always quit on time. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 27, kind of goes along with some of the stuff we've already said. Here it is, get a life before you pursue a wife. Get a life before you pursue a wife. Proverbs 24, verse 27, prepare thy work without, make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards, then build your house. Then build a home. Here's a thought, save money toward a home. Better yourself. Look for opportunities to advance yourself as long as it's within God's will. Do those things now. Instead of playing Call of Duty until the wee hours of the night, take a class, learn a trade, prepare yourself to support a wife. Prepare yourself to support a family. There's not much sense in praying for a wife if you can't afford one. And if you can't take care of one. You think, well, I've been praying for a wife. God's never given me one. It's because you've been stuck in a minimum wage job forever because you're not bettering yourself. That's not true of everybody, but it can be true of some people. Be diligent in working to better yourself. Look over in Proverbs 22. We're just being honest with each other tonight. Amen. Proverbs 22, be diligent in working and bettering yourself. Look what it says about that kind of man in Proverbs 22 and verse 29. It says this, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall what? He shall stand before kings. He'll be respected. You want some godly young lady's dad to respect you? Be diligent about your business. Amen. Prepare yourself. Better yourself. Get a life, as I said, before you get a wife. You know, every young man ought to recognize a crossroad in his life. I taught this in the singles before Brother Mason went over there. And that is every young man stands in a crossroad at some point. He should stand at a crossroad and he should face this decision. Does God want me in the ministry in some way? Or does God not want me in the ministry? And however he answers that question, that sends him in a direction. If God wants me in the ministry, then I need to prepare for that. If God doesn't want me in the ministry, then I need to prepare myself as far as a career is concerned. Amen? I need to learn, I need to find some way to support myself. And the best possible scenario is to find something that you like to do with which you can also serve God and at the same time enjoy it and make a living. That's the best scenario, isn't it? If God's not called you to preach. Or God's not called you to missionary. Man, learn how to do HVAC. We always need that. We got some HVAC people. Right? It's been nice not to have to call an HVAC guy every time we need the air conditioner fixed. God's people are always needing plumbers. We're always needing tech guys. We're needing these people all the time. Find something you can do to serve God with. But prepare yourself. Prepare your field. Make yourself ready for a wife before you go looking for one. Amen. Find something you can do. Find a career and better yourself. And then lastly, and I could add more, but lastly, be humble. Be humble. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and what? Life. Be humble. First of all, most godly young ladies don't find arrogance attractive, right? I've never seen a couple young ladies standing around going, see that guy over there? I really like him. He's so arrogant. I like the way he arrogantly talks to everybody. I like how proud he is. Godly young ladies aren't attracted to that. I got to be honest with you, I'm not attracted to that. Godly young ladies aren't attracted to that. If she's godly and smart, she knows that trait is going to cause her problems down the road. But beyond that, there's no shame in not knowing something. The shame is in not being willing to admit it and then ask for help. You know, young people or younger people can think that sometimes this is a sign of weakness or somehow diminishes their maturity if they ask for something. Listen, I'm 63 years old and I ask people for help. There's stuff I don't know. There's sometimes things going on that I call to the preacher and say, hey, what do you think about this? You're never too old to ask for advice. Yeah, right. Yes. And you're never smarter than when you do so. You're never dumber when you can't ask for advice. Right. You know, ask for counsel, ask for help, ask for advice from people who are older than you and have more experience. You may be the smartest person at Calvary Baptist Church, but you ain't never done this before. You've never been down this road before. It just might be that somebody who's been successfully married for 25 years or 35 years or 45 years just might be that they have some helpful insight into this issue. Don't you think? Be humble enough to ask for counsel, to ask for help, to ask for advice from people who are older than you and have more experience. Ask godly men to pray along with you. Brother, would you pray with me when God brings it to your mind? I'd really like to find a godly wife. I'd really like God to bring one into my life. Would you pray with me whenever he brings it to your mind that God might help me find a godly wife? Would you pray also that I might be the kind of man that a godly young lady would desire? Amen? Mm-hmm. Hey, there wouldn't be anything wrong with that, would there? Amen. I don't think there's a man in this church would say, well, that's dumb. Don't you? I think there's not an older man in this church that wouldn't say, man, I'd be glad to pray with you about that. Absolutely would be. Glad to. So don't be afraid. And if somebody comes to you and says, you know, and if you have questions, don't be too proud to go to somebody and say, man, I don't know what to do about this. I'm thinking about this. And what do you think about that? And get some help and ask for advice. Amen? Back to our text and we're done. We'll pray. Proverbs, I told you, just kind of a topical, quick message tonight. Proverbs 18, where we started in verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. It's not about just finding a wife. It's the diligent search for a young lady that will be good for me and good in my life. And for whom I can be good as well. Amen? Who we can lift each other up, help each other serve God, that she can help make me better spiritually, while I in turn may help make her better spiritually, so that we're good for one another in the things of God. And he says if we can find that, if we can accomplish that, then we are the recipient of the favor of God. But this doesn't happen by accident. It's a diligent search. Amen? And as a man of God, I need to go about this seriously, and I need to go about it carefully. Can't just sit back and say, God, I need a wife. You have to prepare yourself and know what you're searching for. Those of us who are married tonight, we got a lot of people in our church of marriage age. We need to pray for them. That God would bring a godly spouse into their life. That God would bring a godly person. And maybe if it's somebody that's already here, that God would make it known to them. Or that God would bring somebody across their path. And that we would pray that God would give them the patience to wait for his will. And that God would bring it to pass. Because I don't know about you, but I want the best for them. Amen? I don't want God's second. I want God's best for every single person in our church. That God would find, bring about their best. But this is all the result of a right pursuit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you will.